coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. It is Monday, October 18th, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, and I've got some very, very sad news to pass along to everyone. Russ Dizdar passed away. Russ Dizdar passed away yesterday. Good friend. In fact, he was just in the studio. Why don't we roll this clip in honor and memory of Russ Dizdar. Okay. Yeah, I took Eric by surprise on that one. Shelley, his wife, he leaves behind Shelley, his wife, his daughter, and granddaughter, and his son-in-law. And a brother. You know, we've taken some hits over the last couple of years. This one is a pretty strong hit. And I've got some things to say on the other side of this, but let's take a moment to honor Russ. Russ was just in the studio a couple of weeks ago after working together for hours upon hours and days before that. And he came into the studio. We had a good time. And we talked and we talked and we talked. But here's a clip from Russ. How do I even describe it? Somebody was going to shoot you. I mean, plain and simple. And really, the hand of God came out and stopped it.
Well, you know, not that I want anybody to watch Eyes Wide Shut, but when you start thinking of these undergrounders, you got to think in terms of really, truly, we all hear about it, but when you finally engage them and you see, you see the depth of the radical evil, it was a murder for hire plot.
Yes, it was.
It was a goal to get rid of. And the information was, because we had friends around, this person already calculated they were going to take everybody else out.
Gee, so, I wonder who that could have been.
So when that weapon came out that quick and was pointed at my chest, earlier we prayed heavy about this because there was a concern.
Yes.
There's been a couple other things out of federal officer's wife. You know the story about that and attempted murder, whatever. Well, this was a murder. This is a federal thing now. We know who did this. We know who paid.
Yes.
There's eyewitnesses that saw the thousands of dollars laying on a lap.
Yeah, and so to put this in context, though, and folks, I mean, this is absolutely not made up. There are multiple witnesses to this, and, you know, those of you who watch this program kind of know a little bit, nothing with any specificity, but the fact is, Russ and his team are making a difference by fighting this enemy of God in this area. And in fact, I was with him until, I don't know, after the bars closed last night, time-wise, as well as his team. And, you know, the fight is real. And these are people who are engaged in, who are infused in different areas, well, all areas of society, whether it's military, police, clergy.
They have a big jump on us because it's, if you think in terms of secret projects.
Yeah.
If I think in terms of the mafia or drug lords and their secrecy and their need, I'm saying that on a physical level, this lower level, this bottom line, where all the power and the real agenda is, and will, biblically speaking, will surface in the near future. If you're going to have a new world order, Antichrist, it's all here. Biblically, it demands that it has to be in place before it rises and is unleashed. So, The issue is engaging that, like all prophecy. John the Baptist was born and he lived and then he became the forerunner to Jesus. That was prophesied in the Old Testament. Judas, it was prophesied that would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. The scripture is so infallibly accurate concerning all this. So I can read 1,000 books on the underground, New World Order, all these things, but I can go to scripture and find definitively exactly how future history is going to come out. Well, then, boots on the ground. Then you engage the people. And the biggest thing is, if I'm correct, you know, if I am correct that there's 150 million five generations down to the 2 year olds, you know, the new ones being born up to about 75. If they're anywhere between 74 and 50, the guarantee is they are first generation straight from German speaking programmers, handlers and all that kind of stuff. They're selected birth. They are traumatized, demonized, and we can get into the whole issue of certain old Babylonian rituals to alter DNA. The goal, you understand, Himmler and Hitler's goal, whether or not anybody wants to believe it, their goal was to create godmen, yes. Hybrids.
Yep.
So the rituals in reference to Nimrod and so forth to become Geborim is exactly the rituals they define. The goal was to augment DNA, the moment of conception, which we call in theology traducianism. The moment the sperm enters the egg and the beautiful, you know, instantaneous, yep. You know, the birth of the human spirit, then all of a sudden you have a baby living there. Well, their whole thing is traumatization, demonization for the sake of altering that DNA and that child and changing it from ground zero. And then you got to understand what they've gone through. Nobody has gone through what they've gone through. This is beyond Auschwitz. This is beyond all the rest, which all of it is bad. Human trafficking, all of it. But you're talking them being simply a commodity selected to be purposely born, bred and born so that they could be demonized, that they can have their, by massive trauma, have their solical side, the suke, the solical personality side, split again and again and again so that they can have an assassin created, a summoner of demons created, one that speaks certain languages, one that can embed in military or be sent in as, so you have all these personalities with specialities, programming, and then just like I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Jesus, they have power of the demonic given into that programming to accelerate, to enhance them, to remote view. See, you know, here's the you know, U.S. military bought, you know, U.S. military bought into this.
Yep.
They allowed the Nazis to come. They were told, oh, we got secrets. We can give you weaponry. We can do all this kind of stuff. Because it's not spiritually discerned. We can look back now and say, man, the dark side was just simply guiding the Nazis to take in technologies, to build this, to open gateways, at the Hall of the Dead, like we were talking.
Yep.
They have those indentions around where the skulls of the generals would be, the dead ones. That was a ritual chamber.
Right.
Villigoat, he was the sorcerer for Himmler. I stood in the middle of that place where many rituals occurred, blood rituals. That chamber was designed demonically, guided demonically. If you think of the Old Testament, the Spirit of God guiding and giving craftsmanship to the temple,
right?
They have a counterfeit. There's always a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit to all of it. So that chamber, for years, Hitler stood there. The source, Michael Aquino, the once director of United States intelligence, he stood there doing an ancient, one of the darkest rituals, the Wedelsburg working in Wedelsburg, in Himmler Castle. And he was the director of United States intelligence at one time.
So, okay. All right. You know, I try to think of a good way to honor Russ. And I remember him being in the studio and we were talking about this. And Russ was the kind of guy. They couldn't get him through the direct assassination attempt. And the last time we spoke, he said, or one of the last times that we spoke, he said, you know, just told that, they're doing blood rituals against me and my family. And, you know, he asked everyone to pray. And, of course, the battle in the spiritual. I don't expect people to understand this in terms of what's really going on behind the scenes. But there's just a tremendous war taking place, and it's all spiritually, it's all within the spiritual. And we're going to miss Russ, Eric the Tech, and myself, and my wife. And now his wife is in the hospital at the moment. Please keep her in your prayers. I spoke with team member Sherry and some others. You know, we would do a disservice if we just gave up. We're not going to give up. We're going to double down. And that's my commitment, my promise to Russ and to his family and to all of you. So please keep his family in your prayers as we go through this pretty difficult time. Keep his team in your prayers. And know that those behind the dark acts, the human traffickers that we have been investigating, the Satanists, and by Satanists I mean Satanists. We're not going to give up. We're still coming. We're a man short. We're a man down. But we're still coming. John Moore, Liberty Man. How you doing? If it's Monday, it's Monday with John Moore. Is John on? There he is.
I'm here. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I apologize in advance. I've got to have some bone grafting done on my jaw from a trauma incident I took. So I'm not talking very well today. So any conversation, certainly go ahead and sit in for me, or not sit in for me, talk for me. I'll just make the hand signals back here.
Okay.
All right. I'm joking. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Of course, you're coming into the program after the news of Russ's passing. So it's kind of a pall over the show. I apologize for that, but we're a man down, man short now, man down now, and an important guy. But we're still going to go forward and stuff. You and I, we still have to fight. All of us out there, we still have to fight. What's on your radar today?
Well, breaking news this morning: General Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, passed away at age 84. From COVID after being fully vaccinated against the COVID.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. I have a lot of respect for General Powell. The powers that be used him, quite frankly. They set him up in front of the United Nations, giving a presentation of fabricated, fantasy, make-believe evidence that Saddam Hussein had material to make nuclear weapons with, which he did not, of course. He resigned as Secretary of State not long after the Bush administration humiliated him in front of the entire planet with this make-believe evidence. Now, only a few years before that, General Powell was with the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff under George W. Bush. And, George W. Bush invaded Iraq, and General Powell was, of course, part of that operation as well. General Powell was a Vietnam veteran, an honorable man who was very brilliant, and the powers that be really took advantage of him and his reputation to do other things that they couldn't without it, at least not very easily, without his reputation standing behind it.
You say an honorable man. Isn't he the man that sat there at the Security Council holding up a bottle of whatever it was, ricin or chemical weapons of some kind, and said if we don't go to war, you know.
That was the fabricated evidence.
Right.
They told him.
I'm getting tired of these honorable bastards. I'm getting tired of these. John, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sick of these honorable bastards, okay?
Well, they lied to him. He didn't know it was fabricated evidence. they had to make sure that General Powell did not display revealing body language that a person lying would do. And anybody who knows what to look for would easily see that. So they told him it was a real deal when in fact it was fabricated. And he didn't stick around too long after that. He resigned his position and moved on with his life. And when you're in these positions, Doug, you have to rely on a certain extent to the people that work for you, the people you trust to give you, in this case, give you real evidence as opposed to make-believe fabricated evidence. And he was set up and he was used.
All right.
Anyway, Doug.
All right. And I'm sure President Trump was used in the same fashion for different reasons. But you know what? It's like Groundhog Day. When is this going to stop? When are we going to realize that we're getting, that people are peeing on our leg and telling us it's raining? Okay. I'm getting really, really, really tired of that crap. I'm getting tired of Fauci. I'm getting tired of Mr. Marbles and MIA Heels Up Harris. I'm getting tired of them. All right. I'm getting tired of all of this crap. When are we going to say enough is enough and go forward?
Americans tend to be very polite and non-confrontational, Doug, until they have no choice.
Well, I don't see us having any friggin' choice, okay, right now, because we got a bunch of morons running things. We got a bunch of friggin' morons running things. Tell me how much sense this makes. And it pains me to do this in many respects, but tell me how much sense this makes. You get a bunch of nurses and doctors that are fired for not taking the mandatory COVID jab out of a hospital. Okay, so they bring in FEMA, doctors and nurses, who aren't required to take the jab and aren't jabbed. And in one case, the same nurse that was fired from the hospital goes back into the hospital under FEMA, unjabbed. This is a clown show.
For
the love of God, it's a clown show.
It's a clown show with very serious consequences. Doug, I've come to realize just in the last few days that apparently what's going on with these clot shots is every month after you get it, you lose about 6 to 8% of your immunity. Point being, by March of 2022, which is only about 8 months away, 7, 8 months away, almost everybody who's got the clot shot will no longer have an immune system, which basically turns them into an AIDS patient with no immune system. Anything they come across, a common cold, other simple illnesses that people with a normal immune system shrug off, don't feel any effects at all, maybe they're sick for a couple of days, will just flat kill you when you have no immune system. That's where we're headed, really quick. And the doctors I'm working with are trying to wrap their brains around, just like I am, wrap their brains around the huge numbers of people that will just simply be gone in 7 or 8 months' time, or maybe a few months after that, assuming how long, you know, we don't know how long it'll take for them to get sick and die. But over the next year and a half, we'll be losing a huge percentage of Americans to the consequences of the clot shot. It will be an absolute disaster. And the Chinese Politburo is having champagne toast with strawberries because they're so happy and so delighted that they're conquering the United States without firing a shot. That's the goal of many generals, if not most generals, is to conquer their enemy without losing any of your own people, without firing a shot. And at the moment, that's exactly what's taking place, Doug, unfortunately.
I agree with you on that. It's especially today, it's mourning in America. All right. Mourning in America. I don't know how many people saw this. And John, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know who did this. If you remember the Reagan era, and I know you do, John, as I do, the Reagan era, mourning in America, you know, the hopefulness, it was a great ad, a great campaign. Do you have that up, Eric the Tech? Okay, John, I don't know if you've seen this, but folks, have you seen this? Here it is, the newest mourning in America.
There's mourning in America. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have died from a deadly virus Joe Biden ignored. They praised his mistakes instead of heeding the warnings, then blamed others to cover up their president's failures. With the economy in shambles, people across America are still unemployed. Millions worry that a loved one won't survive COVID-19. There's mourning in America. And under the leadership of President Biden and Vice President Harris, our country is weaker and sicker and poorer. And now, Americans are asking, if we have another 4 years like this, will there even be an America?
You know, John, there are a couple of things I could take issue with there, all right? But you get the idea, all right? There's been a bioweapon released upon us, and it's steeped in the satanic. I can't say that any clearer. That's what we have. The shots, the jab juice, the serum that they're pushing off as a vaccine, in my view, is part of a binary or trinary bioweapon.
I had a couple of private consultation clients over the weekend. They're both healthcare professionals, and they have a patient who works for a major pharmaceutical company who let them know that these COVID vaccines began development about 8 years ago, about 7 years before they were released, which is about the right time for a vaccine to be developed, about 7 years. And March of last year of 2020, I was already saying publicly on my radio show that I believed personally, I didn't have evidence at the time, but now we're getting evidence that the vaccines were already in the refrigerators. Nothing was done haphazard, Doug. Nothing was left to chance. The warp speed was simply a cover story to give a pretext to bring out the vaccines, which had been under development for 7 years already. That's all it was a cover story to conceal the true nature of the COVID-19 vaccines, the true nature of them being under development for 7 years, manufactured and in refrigerators, ready to go at the appropriate time. Nothing was left to chance, Doug. There's no surprises to the people that developed this vaccine. None at all. They knew exactly the harm that would be caused by it. They knew exactly the outcome before these were ever released. And we're just at the beginning of what's going to become a massive kill-off of the men, women, and teenagers, and now, before very long, children who've taken the COVID-19 clot shots. Doug, it will change our country forever. It will make us vulnerable to invasion. These military mandates are really scary. The Secretary of Navy is threatening the U.S. Navy SEALs to charge them the dollar amount the Navy spent to train them to be U.S. Navy SEALs if they refuse the clot shot and leave the Navy. All these threats being thrown around because of a disease that kills somewhere between 0.1 and 0.3% of the people that get it.
Okay.
You know, I agree with you, Doug. This is absolute insanity.
So just to kind of verify what you're saying about these so-called vaccines having a longer shelf life or longer production life than just recently, consider this, folks. 1956, the Wuhan Microbiology Lab was founded in Wuhan in Hubei province, China. In 1978, it was renamed to its current name, Wuhan Institute of Virology. Again, I apologize for my speech. In 2002 and into 2003, 774 people died worldwide from SARS, the SARS outbreak. All right. And that was attributed to bats, to civets, to people. But there was a second outbreak in 2003. In Singapore, which is linked to a lab accident. Investigation found that SARS virus escaped from a high-level lab in Beijing. All right, now I'm getting to a point here, so just hold that thought there. So in 2004, you got the bat lady, Xi Xingli, the director at Wuhan finds a reservoir of coronavirus in bats living in caves in southern China. All right, now, at the same time, you have the European Union creating a Bio4-level lab in Wuhan, or starting the creation of one. All right, so in 05, you have the bat lady, that crazy bitch, and team, crazy bastards, conducting human SARS antibody tests in bats and making up these weird viruses. And let's fast forward to 2011, because Fauci, that garden gnome piece of crap, director of NIAID, along with his associate George Nabel, and Francis Collins, that dried up rat body person, head of the NIH, admitted that they created a laboratory virus that does not exist in nature for research purposes, for the good of research. Fauci admitted this. Collins admitted this. And Fauci said, this is a flu virus, risk worth taking. You don't believe me? Go to December 30, 2011, Washington Post, a flu virus, risk worth taking. You want to know where this shit came from? Fauci? So they've been working on this. What's that?
Not bats.
No. Well, bats originally. But no, they tweaked it in the laboratory, John. And then you're right. See, people don't get this. People, you do your research on the crapper, right? That's what you do. Facebook and shut up. I'm giving you the information. Epoch Times did a great expose. So there it is. And so they had this serum juice. You're right. At the ready. But it was an mRNA serum juice. Dr. Robert Malone created the mRNA stuff. So you're exactly right. But you know what? Hey, you got to take the vax. Vax or you don't. Here's, can we go to clip two and then you take it? Clip to the Washington police officer, Washington State police officer, state trooper. This should tell you everything you need to friggin' know. And yeah, I'm a little bit crusty today for a lot of reasons. Go ahead. Hang on a second. It's got to, you know, jive with the production equipment. It's been a bad day here, folks. Hang on. What's that? All right. Here we go. Those listening, you can see this. Go to Hagman Report. Go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. And if you want to bone up on the recent COVID news and vaccine, in quotes, news, thelibertyman.com. Here's that short clip.
This is my final sign-off. After 22 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, I'm being asked to leave because I am dirty. Numerous fatalities, injuries. I've worked sick. I've played sick. We've buried lots of friends over these years. I'd like to thank you guys. I'd like to thank the citizens of Yakima County, as well as my fellow officers within the valley. Without you guys, I wouldn't have been very successful, and you've kept me safe and got me home to my family every night. Thank you for that. Wish I could say more, but this is it. So, State 1034, this is the last time you'll hear me in a state patrol car. And Jay Inslee can kiss my ass.
And there it is. That's the way to do it. John? And there's a nice bio after that, but I quit it there. There it is, John. That's where we're at.
The first responders are getting a lot of pressure to get the clot shot. Police, sheriff's deputies, paramedics, fire department. And of course, many of them are getting it and many others are not. I believe the Chicago Police Union has been one of the most resistant of the various police unions that I'm aware of. They're making it difficult to have exemptions. I was watching a presentation this morning where it was revealed that these chaplains have photocopies of why they can't get religious exemptions for every religion. When the service person walks in the door of the chaplain, they have it pre-printed, ready to go, showing that the Pope supports the clot shots and various other religions support the clot shots, to attempt to dissuade the service members from asking for a religious exemption. Of course, nobody can tell what's in a man's heart or a woman's heart. If they have a religious conflict in their heart with the clot shot, who can say otherwise? Nobody can. Of course they can't. Nobody can do that. Medical exemptions are almost impossible.
John,
also,
let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the people who argue against that say, well, if you've got a religious objection to this, now this is coming up. Because, for example, Tylenol was tested, prototype for Tylenol was tested on unborn fetal cells in some way, shape, or form. Then you can't be taking Tylenol. You can't be taking there was like several other medications. And you had to swear that you weren't taking, in some of these places, you had to say, I'm not, I'm against all these. Well, the problem I have with that, John, okay, is no one is forcing you to take Tylenol. No one is forcing you to take cough syrup or whatever the other medication might be. They are forcing you, with your livelihood, to take this jab. And let me ask you this, when, if it's so good, and it helps you so much, when has there ever been a situation that we're seeing today where they're
forcing? There's no precedent. There's no precedent, Doug. Not at all. We've had various pandemics in this country. The Spanish flu was, of course, one of the worst ones. And there's no precedence for what's taking place to happen in this country. Simply none at all. I heard also this morning that in Lithuania, a small country in northern Europe, you're not allowed to enter a supermarket and buy food unless you can show proof of a COVID shot. That's where the rubber meets the road. When I cut people off from getting food, they're getting really serious and really crazy with all this. It was very, very revealing, Doug, when you mentioned the nurse who wouldn't get the clot shot was fired and then brought back into the same hospital under FEMA auspices without the clot shot because she worked for FEMA. I thought that was very revealing as to how silly this is, at the same time being so serious. Doug, these mandates, most of them kick in by the end of November, which is less than 6 weeks away, and almost all of them kick in by the end of December, which is less than 2.5 months away. For the military, for civilian employees of the U.S. government, for pretty much everybody that works for every airline, from the pilots to the people that clean the airplanes, and of course, all the first responders are under these similar mandates in the next few weeks as well.
Here's my thinking on all this, and tell me your opinion on this. This is the federal. This is to do with Obamacare started but couldn't finish with the healthcare system. This is to nationalize or federalize the police forces. This is to nationalize again what Obamacare couldn't do. They set out to do to federalize the healthcare system, nationalize the healthcare system. They take over the healthcare system. We have national socialism in this country, and yet we have people on the left saying, oh, no, Trump was a fascist, when in fact the fascism is being shown right now. So the military, the same thing. But the police departments, the biggest tell I had, John, this weekend when I was looking at this early Friday, Saturday, the biggest tell I had on this, John, is when that lesbianic chia pet of a mayor, Lori Lightfoot, gave a waiver, temporary waiver to the teachers union, but told the cops, no, the police union, no, there are no exceptions. Doubled down and sued the police union.
So the teachers got an exemption and the police did not?
A temporary stay. In other words, a stay by the mayor, whereas the police union, you have to follow my orders. And that's the biggest awakening I saw. Or that really woke me up to thinking, okay, what's the real objective here? Because she would be across the board, and again, I apologize, she would be level across the board, or should be, consistent.
I would think so.
All right.
I would think so. That would, that the existence of that exemption gives the police union legal ammunition to be used in court. Legal ammunition in the form of, if this thing is real, it has to be real for everybody, not just some people. And of course, it's not real. And Lori Lightfoot is a very bizarre looking person to begin with. She's publicly known to be a lesbian. She's a communist, in my opinion, doing what her communist controllers want her to do. Chicago cops are in a tough place. It's a good paying job with a good retirement, and walking away from that retirement plan is not an easy thing to do. But I believe many are prepared to do so because you can always get another job, maybe get another retirement program, but you only got one life. And it has to be the discussions taking place, these officers with their spouses. Honey, what should we do? Should I take the shot and risk losing my life, or should I leave my job and become a police officer someplace else? That's a tough place to be, especially if you're not quite vested in a retirement program. You got 17, 18 years in. You need a couple more to get vested in a retirement program. That's a lot of pressure to walk away from that. But I think many will, and that's why Mayor Lightfoot did what she did. The powers that be in Chicago, which is a communist stronghold, by the way, and has been for decades, are deathly afraid that the police will just leave, leaving Metro Chicago to the designs of the criminals, who would quickly take over if enough police officers left. I think, Doug, in my capacity as a criminal investigator, I've sat across the interview table from hundreds of criminals, men and women, both charged with minor crimes to first-degree murder. But I've asked this question of several career criminals. And I said, tell me, if there was a major snowstorm, ice storm, tornado, earthquake, what would you be doing in your career as a criminal? And these men, they look me straight in the eye, Doug, and they say, we look at it as economic opportunity. So fast forward to the police being gone because they've resigned due to the COVID-19 the vaccine mandates. Economic opportunity would raise its ugly head, wouldn't it, Doug?
And we're seeing that take place. We're seeing the lawlessness take place. George Soros, did you see this? And folks, I don't know whether you saw this or not as well. George Soros is funneling $17 million into Austin, into the, not to fund the police, but take the police out. I mean, it's ridiculous how the tentacles of this one globalist madman is impacting every place in America. Why this guy is still walking upright, sucking in air and taking up space is beyond me. And I don't know what gives him the right to meddle in our country. All right. Just because he's got the bucks. But did you hear anything about this, about Austin? I'm looking for my notes on this.
I did not. So,
yeah,
I'm not sure how that funding would work to, he wants to eliminate the police in Austin, Texas.
Yeah. Again, on my notes, usually I have them on paper, like I just showed you, if I, you know, otherwise I couldn't do that. But I put them on my computer, which sadly is a wrong thing to do, especially when I can't find squat. Well, they said, yeah, get up to date, use electronics. Yeah, okay, give me a pen and paper. All right, so, George Soros somehow is getting his mitts into the Austin Police Department and sending money to fund the police and also to take the police away. Okay, now I don't exactly know how you do that, especially when I can't find my notes.
My first thought is he would that decision would have to come from the Austin City Council. So that would involve promises or threats or bribes to the Austin City Council members, possibly electing new Austin City Council members, possibly a new to accomplish that goal to eliminate the police. Now, Austin is the state capital of Texas. It's the most liberal city in Texas. It's one of the more fun cities. We have great restaurants and entertainment and so forth. But the communists pretty much rule the roost when it comes to Austin, Texas. So it's probably not going to take a whole lot of convincing have a bill proposed, a city council bill proposed to eliminate the Austin Police Department. I'm not sure what they would do afterwards. Will they have the Texas Rangers come in to maintain order? I don't know.
Yeah,
Governor Abbott's not going to let the state capitol fall to the communists. If he has to bring in state troopers or the Texas Rangers or the National Guard or all of the above, he will do so to maintain order. He can't tolerate the state capitol falling into anarchy. It's not optional. So the governor will do what he needs to do to maintain order there, Doug.
Well, okay. Now, this comes on. Okay, so I got this from about 2 weeks ago, roughly, from the Federalist. George Soros just dropped $500,000. Now, this is for Austin only, $17 million across the board, to keep Austin police defunded. So we already know that he knows how to influence an election. We know how he uses his money to do things for communist objectives. But according to financial records, Soros funneled $500,000 to Equity PAC, a political action committee that opposes a proposition to hire more police officers on September 27th. That proposition, Proposition A, is set for a November 2nd vote and would require the police department to hire 100 more officers, have at least two officers per 1,000 residents, and give officers an extra 40 hours of police training. But he is going against that, John. And so national left-wing interests are trying to destroy public safety in Austin and other places. Again, this is all part of a $17 million initiative by this globalist. And this is what we're up against, brother. By the way, his cushy estate in the Hamptons, very well protected by private police.
Of course it is. Well, it's been about 2 months ago, Doug, that this brilliant black woman, Candace Owens, absolutely brilliant, well-educated, well-spoken black woman, was on with Tucker Carlson. And she revealed the real deal going on with defunding the police all around the country. And the real deal is to create so much chaos in places like Chicago that the governor says, we need help. We need a national police force to restore order in our cities. I was briefed by a CIA individual 20 years ago that there would in the future be a national police force. And he revealed to me the location of the regional national police headquarters for Metro St. Louis. I've flown over it multiple times, taking photographs, aerial photographs, interviewed men who've worked there. It's a World War II ammunition testing and storage facility at the intersection of Antar Road and Interstate 44 in St. Louis County, Missouri. Beginning 20-something years ago, they started rehabilitating these concrete underground bunkers to make them suitable for our work areas. And one of the men we interviewed was a telephone technician who brought in a T1 drop. A T1 drop is 500 telephone lines. That's been 20 years ago also. Point being, this facility, and I'm sure there's at least 9 or 10 more regional headquarters for the new national police, are all finished and shiny and freshly painted and ready to go. The uniforms for national police have been in storage for probably years. The national police themselves have been recruited and trained and on standby, ready to go when they get the word. So that's the reason George Soros is working to defund the police, is so that chaos reigns in these cities. And we have a pretext for bringing in possibly United Nations initially, before they go to the national police, because the national police can't just appear out of nowhere, because they would allegedly be brand new, hadn't existed before. So they need a period of time, probably, I would say, four to 6 months to give the appearance that they're just now starting the national police, when in fact they've been funded, trained, equipped, and ready to go for years, for many years, Doug.
And John, how do you think that's going to work out?
United Nations will be resisted if they leave the cities. I don't think they'll be resisted so much in the cities, but if they leave the cities, they will not be well received out here in the countryside. Well, so the United Nations will focus on the big cities and trying to maintain order there, while the powers that be are allegedly recruiting, training, equipping the new national police. That's my opinion, Doug, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall, and you know all that equipment. Radley Balko had written a book many years ago, the militarization of police. I don't remember the title of it. If that might be it, and outline the reasons why this was a bad idea. You know, giving them the armored personnel carriers and such. And it's such a bad idea. It takes away the community policing. It takes away hey, it's my neighbor. He's a cop, from the area, and gives them tools to use, military tools to use against their own citizens or us. So I don't think this is going to have a good ending here. And you know, the other thing too, John, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but I think it was the police department in New York, or a subset of the New York Police Department, or DHS, walking the robot dogs. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. Robot dogs.
Not good. I don't know. I don't know if we have a video of that, but it's crazy. And again, to be used in situations that are deemed too, what would you call it, too?
Too dangerous. Unsafe.
Too dangerous, right, for normal police officers. What in the hell are we doing? Who's thinking of this stuff? Okay, we are going to be fighting robots and Artelex. And Hugo de Garis spoke at one of the conferences in Branson a couple of years ago. And he said this is where it's coming. I mean, this is what's coming down to. Artificial intelligence, Artelex, in the form of robot soldiers and things like, dogs. And there's a satanic component to this as well, which, of course, Russ Dizdar was addressing. And again, folks, if you didn't hear, Russ Dizdar passed away yesterday. And please keep his family in your prayers. All right. So this is where we're at. I mean, and you know what, John? I'm losing hope. Because do we have enough people to say enough is enough? Where are all the people fighting back? Where? Tell me not to lose hope. I shouldn't say lose hope. I'm thinking that there's not going to be enough of us to fight back. Too many people are too comfortable. I'll lose everything. I don't have that much to lose. I'll lose everything. I'm okay with that. Let's rock. Let's get this on. Let's take care of business. Bring back our country. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I agree with you, Doug. And bringing back the country is going to be a long, hard road. And we mentioned a few minutes ago the biological warfare being administered against us by the communist Chinese. Well, the cultural war has been going on for many decades. The economic warfare has been going on for many decades. So we've lost much of the foundation of what made this land of ours great. I'll give you an example. The Boy Scouts of America now call themselves Scouts BSA. They no longer call themselves the Boy Scouts of America. They're just the Scouts. And, of course, they allow young women to be Scouts and have homosexual men be Scout leaders, none of which would have been tolerated just a few years ago. We had 1/3 of all the Boy Scouts in the country resigned in one day, Doug. That was the Mormons. The Mormon boys and the Mormon Scout leaders all resigned in one day. So the Boy Scouts of America lost 1/3 of membership in 24 hours. That was pretty scary. But many other of our institutions, I can give you a couple of examples. The Institution of Marriage, for example, and how when 1973 or so, 1972, they instituted no-fault divorce. Now, I've talked to my friend Jeff Nyquist about were there any communists behind that or not. We don't know. We haven't found any or recognized any on one hand. On the other, the no-fault divorce, when I was in the legal system when that came about, 1973, Doug, was like somebody threw a light switch. The divorce rate went up dramatically, and we don't know if communists were behind or not, but we know it certainly serves their purpose. It's carrying their water, so to speak, that the no-fault divorce came into being. What an absolute nightmare for the children who are affected by these divorces. An absolute nightmare, Doug.
Well, we've been at war for a long time, John. You know, I think people can agree with that. Anyone who's awake right now can agree with that. We've been at war. And the war is a culture war. The war is, it's on all levels at this point. The question is, are we going to draw another line and say this far, no further? Or are we going to fight back? That's my question. By the way, speaking of fighting back, I believe we can't get past, and I say this all the time, we can't get past really what happened at the beginning of at the beginning of the release of the bioweapon. And then, of course, what happened on November 3rd of 2020. And we can't get past that. We can't get past the consequential January 6th, you know, until we get the Patriots out of jail and get the real story as to how many FBI, how many intelligence services were there involved in this. Speaking of that, John, let me ask you this. Have you seen the January 6th committee, the House committee, threaten Steve Bannon with basically arrest? And you know,
why did they threaten to arrest him?
Well, ignoring a congressional subpoena. Think about this. Okay. How many Obama people, and that includes Holder and company, and how many Clinton people ignored congressional subpoenas, said F you? And what was their punishment? Nothing. This is why I think that both sides of the House and Senate, both sides are just full of hot air, full of either, it's just a dog and pony show. Can you show that, play that clip about Steve Bannon? It's the last one, I think, clip 4. Yeah, please. Here, watch this, John, and tell me what you think about this.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Hang on, folks.
And Monica, I want to ask you about another story that you are tracking. The president had some pretty strong words late Friday when he was asked about people defying subpoenas to testify in front of the January 6th Select Committee. What did he have to say about that?
This was significant. The president told reporters he hopes the committee goes after people like former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, stressing they should be held accountable, in his words. When asked if that meant they should be prosecuted by the Justice Department, the president responded yes. But Press Secretary Jen Psaki later clarified to emphasize that the president supports DOJ's independent role in the investigation and leaves it to the attorney general to make decisions about further prosecutions. Kristen, Hallie?
One of the biggest flashpoints in Washington, yeah. Right? All right, Monica, thank you.
So they're shoving this stuff up our butts. And they're saying, you don't testify, which is a sham. Kangaroo court kind of setting. We're not represented. The right is not represented in these hearings. And you know what the objective is. What do you make of that? And how many more people have the guts to say, screw you, I'm not going to your party. I'm not playing in your house. I'm not playing that game, which is rigged. This is what we need to do, I think, on a wholesale level. But what are your thoughts?
Well, Doug, I don't see very many people doing very much until it affects them directly. I saw this during the Vietnam War. We had most of the majority of the anti-war protesters were either young men subject to being drafted or their girlfriends or wives. That was who the majority of anti-war protesters were. President Nixon basically decimated the anti-war effort when he eliminated the draft in the way it was, and instituted the drawing of numbers system that they had, basically a lottery type system. It destroyed the anti-war movement overnight, where they lost basically two-thirds of the people who supported it. So I don't see Americans getting in the streets in any great numbers until they're directly affected by something such as having a cut off from going to the supermarket without a COVID shot card, for example. That would do it pretty quick. Some other grievous mandate of some sort. In the meantime, Americans will be polite. They'll make use of the legal system, which takes forever, as you and I both know. And in my opinion, I don't believe they'll be doing much until they have no choice. At that point, then they'll act, and hopefully they'll have the contacts and the networking available to get numbers out in the street that will be significant enough to be heard. That's what I hope happens, Doug.
Yeah, I do. Well, we can hope, can't we? We can hope. You mentioned about COVID and vaccines and such. What I'm about to show you, John, is something that was posted earlier today, I believe it was. And why don't you take a look at this? And folks, please, okay. I'd like you guys to take a look at this, because I believe this is where we are in this country. This was from Twitter. Did you get that, Eric? Okay. This is from Twitter, and I'll, for the radio audience, I'll explain it. It is what the left wants to do to you and I, to force compliance. And here it is, John.
Okay.
For the listening audience, I'll just read this. I want to see videos of anti-mask or anti-vax parents.
Who wrote this?
This is from someone on Twitter. Okay. It's not, the name is blanked out, but it's
okay.
This is from Reddit. I'm sorry. Reddit. My apologies. Which, you know, that's the front door to the internet if you're a bozo. All right. So I want to see videos of anti-vax parents being painfully restrained. The look of absolute horror in their eyes, tears running down their cheeks as their children are forcibly vaccinated against the will of their racist, Trumpist, anti-vax, transphobic parents. I want them all to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're powerless in the face of the vaccine. My position is we must make the lives of the unvaccinated a total misery and just keep escalating the exclusions until we can crush the resistance and break the spirit in order to force compliance. And so they learn not to resist government mandates. And then there's a photograph. It's a pretty telling photograph. When Democrats gain enough power, their masks come off. The masks will come off. That about sums it up, doesn't it? So how can you have a reasonable dialogue with people like that?
Well, you can't, Doug. I wouldn't even attempt to. I would not even attempt to have a reasonable dialogue with the author of that. I might just simply show them my Colt 45 and smile and say, have a nice day. Or a smile and say, give it your best shot. Because we got the guns and they don't.
Do you think that's true? And I'm asking that very seriously. Look, I know we have the guns, but do you think that the left doesn't?
For the most part, they don't have any firearms of any consequence. And typically, if they do own a shotgun or a .22 caliber pistol, they have no tactical training to make any serious use of it. So, the liberals simply don't own firearms that are appropriate for self-defense. And I'm not, we got the guns, we got the training, We're the hunters, and we're the veterans, and they're not. So I have no concern about liberals owning firearms. They simply don't do that. That's not who they are, Doug.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Now let's move on to the ports. All right, let's move on to the ports. National File did an expose. I don't know whether you saw this, folks. I don't know whether you folks have read this. National File did an expose, and this was just published today. And we can put this up when you have a chance. This explains, or this, I shouldn't say explains, this has some information about LA Cargo terminal operator. Hang on just a second here. I got to close a bunch of, man, I'll tell you what. You know what? I don't mind, folks, I don't mind websites that you know, have ads. But for the love of everything holy, all right, stop spamming on me. You stop spamming the ads. But the National File, LA cargo terminal operator makes massive Chinese communist deal. Union leader says foreign-owned shipping companies are blocking supply chain. I know you've talked about this. What are your thoughts on this whole supply chain issue?
Well, my understanding of the blockage is at the ports themselves and the men who work in the ports, their unions, I should say. Many, if not most, of the unions in this country were compromised and taken over by the communists decades ago. So I were laid at the feet of the communists as part of their overall asymmetric warfare to destroy the United States. Asymmetric warfare is basically 20, 21 different ways to wage warfare. And this, of course, would be part of the economic warfare to cripple us, to shut down access to spare parts and the needful things that are being shipped in from overseas. So that's why we're laid at the feet of the communist Chinese.
What are we going to do about this? Because it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to do. What are we going to do, brother? What are we going to do? Because we just went over a bunch of problems.
Well, if Dwight Eisenhower was president, there wouldn't be any question. Dwight Eisenhower would send in the troops and get everything moving again. He wouldn't put up with that slowness. When the southern states wouldn't allow little black kids to go walk into the schools with the white children, the governor nationalized the National Guard of Arkansas, and then the children got to go to school. So Eisenhower's long gone. Joe Biden is not President Eisenhower, never will be. And we're stuck. What can we do? Those ship, you know, as individuals, nothing we can do. Would it do any good to talk to your U.S. congressman, U.S. senator? I don't know that it would. I don't know where they would do any harm. But if there's enough pressure on the U.S. senators and U.S. congressmen, maybe something could happen at the federal level, because this is a federal problem. The governor of California is not going to take any action. That's not going to happen. So there has to be action at the federal level. I don't have high hopes of it happening, Doug. I simply don't know.
You know, have you, let me ask this, have you changed your sentiments, your feelings, your outlook from, we'll say, 6 months ago? From what you just said, it seems like you've changed your outlook. Yeah, we can fix this. Maybe go through some legal maneuvers. We can fix this. To, well, man, this ain't looking good. I mean, have you changed your outlook or not?
I haven't thought about that much, Doug. But in hindsight, with what you just said, I'm having. Maybe it'd be better just to explain where I am right now. The 900-pound gorilla in the middle of the living room is the clot shots. That's what changes everything. We first started hearing about the bits and pieces of AIDS being incorporated in the COVID-19 and the clot shots. I didn't quite understand why that would be in there. Now I know. It's just frequently the simple answer is the answer. They're giving people AIDS is what they're doing. They're destroying people's immune systems. And it's in every segment of our society, from the young, right now they're down to 15 years of age. They plan on giving clot shots to children 3 years and older. So it's affecting every age group, both sexes, and every profession. The most resistant people to this have been men and women with PhDs, of all things. Men and women in the military, the first responders, all very resistant in large, large numbers. But there's still very large numbers that are getting the clot shot. So my previous hope, whatever that might have been, is being diminished by my knowledge of the reduction of people who play vital roles in our society. I'm not so concerned about a man or a woman who has a store selling comic books. That's entertainment, has no real value in the real world in terms of life and death. But the people we're seeing getting the clot shots, they have real value in the real world in terms of keeping people alive. Anybody and everybody in the healthcare profession, police officers, deputy sheriffs, first responders, firefighters and the paramedics and so forth, they're going to be dying in great numbers. The hospitals will be running reduced services, reduced hours, because of so many healthcare professionals themselves are sick. So yes, my optimism is greatly diminished. I still feel that we win in the end, but there's going to be a lot of heartbreak, heartache, and death between here and there. I believe the Bible is a correct document in terms of telling what our future is going to be. And this is a satanic matter we're dealing with here. Satan is eventually defeated, but not before many tens of millions of people, innocent people, die worldwide. That's where we're headed, Doug. And when those people die, everything changes, because they're the people that, let's look at Boeing, for example. These airplanes don't fly themselves. The spare parts don't create themselves. The Boeing aircraft in both the private sector and the military require daily delivery of spare parts, daily access to the engineers who build these things for technical details and technical help. When they're gone, they're gone. Critical people who cannot be easily or quickly replaced. That's who's going to be dying. Men and women in critical positions throughout our society that cannot be easily or quickly replaced. That slows down and stops a lot of things, Doug. We're going to be scrambling beginning in March and going into the summer of next summer and the fall of next year. We're going to be struggling with people that simply are no longer reporting for work because they're disabled or dead because of the COVID clot shots. We have a highly complex society, Doug, and it's a very interdependent society to create electrical power, to have the water systems going, have the sewer systems going, to have fuel refined in these refineries. These oil refineries are highly complex places that only a few people know how to run them. And if those few people are dead or disabled, the people that would train somebody else, they're the ones that are sick and disabled. So one thing feeds on another. Something I like to say about the EMP, for example, and this applies to the COVID-19 and the clot shots, with EMP events, everything you need to fix what's broken is also broken. And that's where we're going to be with our whole society in about a year, Doug. Everybody we need to train new people is also disabled and dead. That's a really tough place to be, Doug, but I think that's where we're headed.
You know, you're not wrong. I don't think you're wrong. I think that this was planned. This was by design. I think that this was a intended outcome. And the clot shots, as you call them, very interesting. How this plays into all of this. The overreach by the federal government is really the dream of the National Socialists or the communists here in America, or trying to take down America. In fact, Emerald Robinson, the influencer on social media, a conservative, said this: America is now a post-constitutional society. The federal government has no actual legal boundaries. Our corrupt political elites recognize no limits to their whims. They do not even pretend to be public servants anymore. They consider themselves to be your rulers. There it is. Stated very well. Not read very well, but stated, written very well.
It is written very well.
And, well, you know, here we are. So, you know, I guess, so do we operate post-constitutionally? Do we operate outside of the law, John Moore? And I'm, that's a very serious question I'm asking.
Well, it is a very serious question. And I was a candidate for U.S. Congress in 1996 in the 3rd Congressional District against Dick Gebhardt. And one of the big points of my campaign was pointing out that, first of all, we don't need a new constitution. There's ongoing efforts. There's an effort right now to have a constitutional convention. Massive mistake. It doesn't, if it happens, it will become a massive mistake. There's nothing wrong, nothing broken with the Constitution written more than 200 years ago. If we did only one thing, there's many others we could do, and I could mention some of those, but, follow the dictates of Article 1, Section 8. Article 1, Section 8 is the money spending authority for the U.S. Congress. All bills authorizing the spending money must come from the House of Representatives first. They cannot come from the Senate first. And Article 1, Section 8 lists about 18 or 19 things that the federal government can spend money on. Not 25 or 30 or 40 or 50. It's about 18 or 19. And as early as the 1820s, James Madison, who wrote most of the Constitution, he was back in Congress as a congressman, and he was chewing out his fellow congressman, saying the following: "Gentlemen, if I meant that introductory sentence in Article 1, Section 8, to give you authority to spend money on anything you want, it's called the General Welfare Clause. It's not a clause. It's an introductory sentence. It's all it is, to introduce the 18 or 19 things that Congress could spend money on. What James Madison said was, gentlemen, why would I bother to write the specific 18 or 19 things that you can spend money on if all I had to do was say, for the general welfare of the United States, you can spend money on anything you damn well please? Well, that's not true. So if we just followed that one part of the Constitution, most of the federal government would cease to exist, unless they did what I suggested to FBI agents, that you hold bake sales, gentlemen, because there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution authorizing money for something to be spent on something called the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That authority is not there. But if you want to have bake sales, you can have your FBI. And I said that right to their face. They did not have a response because they knew I was right. Some of the things that were very brilliant in the Constitution, such as having the U.S. senators elected by the state legislature instead of direct election by the people, that was brilliant. It was there for a purpose. That purpose being to have the U.S. senators represent the vital interest of the states. When they're responsible to everybody in the state, they're responsible to nobody. That's what it comes down to, Doug. When these U.S. senators are responsible to the entire electorate of the state, they're responsible to nobody. If they're responsible to the state legislature and the governor, that's a finite number, usually no more than a few hundred men and women, that can call them on the carpet and, in fact, have the authority under the original Constitution to recall those senators and bring them back and send a new guy up there if they choose to. So we are operating a country outside the rule of law when it comes to the U.S. Constitution. Clearly, obviously, the U.S. government is running wild, out of control, out of compliance with the U.S. They give lip service to the Constitution, but that's all it is lip service. And I don't know what it's going to take to go back to the dictates of the original Constitution. One of the things that President Trump did that was very helpful in that area was appoint hundreds of conservative judges. Those conservative judges will be there 10, 20, 30, sometimes 40 years into the future. That's a really big deal, Doug. And the President Trump's detractors seem to overlook that a lot. And I'm grateful for Hussein Obama being so lazy, he's busy playing golf, and Valerie Jarrett, who really ran the country, apparently didn't think about appointing liberal federal judges. Thank goodness, because it left all these more than 100 openings for President Trump to fill up with conservative judges who will be conservative judges on these federal benches for decades into the future.
Is that going to be enough, though? My question. Will this be enough? Because I don't see.
If President Trump had stayed in office, he would probably get at least one or two more Supreme Court appointments. That would be a changer right there. Justice Roberts has probably been compromised. His name, I understand, appears on the manifest for the planes going to Perversion Island there. And while we don't have direct evidence, there is a lot of circumstantial evidence that Justice Roberts has been compromised. That's a good question, Doug. What would be enough?
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, because again, to me, what Emerald Robinson wrote about us living in a post-constitutional world or country, that's where we're at, because you could have these judges. For example, one judge, will stop the Texas heartbeat law. Another judge will say, no, it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead. It's this game.
Well, that's a numbers game, Doug, right there.
Right.
And that's why we needed four more years of President Trump to make another 100-plus federal judge appointments, to make another one or two Supreme Court appointments. We probably have a couple of liberal judges right now that are most likely going to retire while Joe Biden or heels up Harris as president, so they can be replaced by another liberal judge. There's a lot of valid criticism of President Donald Trump. I understand that. There's things that can't be argued with. His actions during the COVID-19 were wrong. I don't know if the man was lied to, if he believed Fauci. I don't know what was in the man's heart. I don't know what he knew. All we know now in hindsight is it was wrong what he did concerning COVID-19, the Operation Warp Speed, and all those related matters. That doesn't cancel out all the good he did, appointing hundreds of conservative judges, making our military once again proud to and a force to be reckoned with, which has been rapidly destroyed by President Biden already. Didn't take much.
Right. Let me ask you a very serious question, and I think that this I've seen this bounced around in several places. The desire. When I look at the elections over the last decade and a half, the pendulum is swinging at a much higher rate than ever before. So you've got this Obama over here, and then you've got Trump here, and then you've got Biden, which goes way up further. And then if you have Donald Trump back, maybe it'll go way, way up further. My question to you is it dangerous? Is it not dangerous to put, whether you're on the left and, let's go Biden, right? Let's go Brandon, right? Whether you're on the left, in support of these socialist kind of rules and implementation of unconstitutional implementation of socialism, or whether you're on the right and you're really hoping that Donald Trump takes the bull by the horns and changes things. I see danger in both sides here. I see danger where Donald Trump, following him blindly, as many do, without forethought, like you just mentioned. I don't know why this happened. Do you see us falling into it? Oh, he's the savior of the country, Or do you think that that could be mitigated by common sense among the rational people who are on the right? I'm just curious because I just see danger everywhere at this point.
Well, there's lots of danger to be seen, Doug.
Does that make sense? I mean, I don't want to. I don't know if that made sense to you or not. I just see that.
Well, here's what we're seeing since November of last year. We're seeing parents going to school board meetings that typically before these parents started going to school board meetings, there'd be 50 chairs in the meeting room and maybe 8 or 10 people besides the school board. Now these school board meetings are being filled up nationwide. We have city council meetings being filled up nationwide. Now, that's not a consequence of anything Donald Trump did or didn't do other than losing the election. It's a consequence of Americans getting angry at the insanity, angry at the absurdity, angry at their businesses being shut down by these make-believe fantasy mandates about wearing masks and shutting down restaurants and closing businesses that have no basis in science or medicine, either one. So there's a groundswell of people nationwide who are getting motivated, politically motivated. They're getting angry. They're running for office. They're running for school boards. They're running for city council. They're running for county offices nationwide. And you can be sure that the Democrats are pretty concerned because they know their days are numbered. There's no doubt Donald Trump is a candidate. What he's a candidate for, I don't know. Former presidents don't fill up stadiums with 50,000 people for rallies. Former presidents in this country simply don't do that. But President Trump is doing that. Will he be running for a House of Representatives in Florida? If he does, they'll find a district where he can win. Would he become, and they flip several seats in the House, he could easily be appointed the Speaker of the House. And be in a great position to run for president once again in 2024. None of this matters if we don't get rid of the Dominion voting machines, throw them in the ocean, and have mail-in ballots counted at the precinct, mail-in ballots with a carbon copy counted at the precinct. Sam Andrews, he threw in that carbon copy thing, and I picked up on it. That's just an additional safeguard. So I'm even locally here in my county, Crawford County, we've had people applying to be Republican committeemen, Republican committee women, young people. We have our most recent appointee, young man, he's the same age as my grandson, 26 years old. Doug, 26-year-old men and women simply don't get involved in party politics at that level. They don't. They're busy starting their careers, busy starting families. But this young man, he's a cattle rancher, fine young man. He decided, as a consequence of listening to me and my show, he decided that he would become a Republican committeeman. So there's a groundswell of people nationwide who are angry and motivated and doing things. Will it be enough? I don't know. But the power for these political parties comes from the 3,300 counties in the United States. Yeah, the money makes a difference on one hand. On the other, without the involvement of people at the county level, they're a hollow shell with no power at all. So I see that happening nationwide, Doug. That does give me some hope. I'm not hopeful to the point where I would say discontinue your personal preparedness. Because the Chinese do want the United States. They want the United States with no Americans. That's something that is very real. The Chinese Politburo hopes to conquer the United States without firing a shot, if they can. Right now, the Politburo in China is having champagne toast with strawberries. They're having Americans kill themselves. What a grand plan to have your enemy kill themselves. That's what's going on right now, Doug, with these clot shots. It's going to be horrendous, no doubt whatsoever. It will be absolutely horrendous, unprecedented in our history. The main targets of the clot shot decimation is the English-speaking countries, Canada, the United States, the various UK countries. And on one hand, on the other, we have some of these states in India using ivermectin, and nobody's got COVID anymore. It costs about a penny a pill.
Right, and that's in the that's in one province in particular. That really,
province of 350 million people.
Right, right, which is a good, in my view, it's a very good and necessary trial for ivermectin if you want to do public trials. But listen to this, what you just said, okay? Between 1960 and 2021, the number of killed during mass shootings or from as a consequence of mass shootings, 1,204. This is as of August 1st of this year. The number of men and women killed at Pearl Harbor, 2,335. The 911 attack, 2,977. This is deaths in the U.S. from 1960 to 2021. And as of July 31st, 2021, this, according to VAERS, from the clot shot, 10,355. So when you look at those numbers, you have more adverse or more deaths, not including adverse reactions, which I guess death would be, right? From the clot shots than 9/11, Pearl Harbor, and mass shootings combined.
I think that 1960 date goes back to the Texas Tower shooting, I believe. No surprise there. We're up to about 80 per week dying that we know of. It's widely reported that the VAERS reporting system is not only optional, but many medical doctors don't know even it exists. So the numbers are probably vastly underreported. I just got a report yesterday. The son and daughter-in-law of a woman I know, the woman was pregnant, got the clot shot, and the baby is dead inside the mother right now. They're hoping that the diagnostic equipment is incorrect and the baby's still alive, but that's hope is what that is, hope with no evidence. We're at the beginning. It takes 9 months from conception to birth for a normal baby. We're just at the beginning of what's probably going to be horrible, horrendous birth defects. I've seen a couple of reports, I don't know how valid they are, of babies born to mothers who got the clot shot that have too many arms, too many legs, one eye, just horrendous birth defects. Animal skin instead of human skin. But over the next few months, if this proves to be true with the birth defects, that by itself may be a lot to discourage a lot of people from getting the clot shot. I hope it is, whatever it takes. One of the things I attempt to do at my website, Doug, at thelibertyman.com, is provide the information men and women need to educate themselves about the clot shot, about COVID-19, so they in turn can educate others and hopefully discourage somebody from getting a clot shot or possibly discourage them from getting a booster. Now, you're probably aware, as I am, that evidence is showing that only one-third of the clot shots actually have the poison. The other two-thirds are a sterile saline solution that can cause no harm. Which, if that's true, which I believe it is, it's brilliant on the part of the powers that be. If everybody who got the clot shot dropped over dead relatively quickly, people would stop rolling up their sleeves. Of course they would.
But when do you think that's going to happen? And I'm being serious because just like the coronavirus, or just like the bioweapon, I don't think it affects people the same way. I think it affects people differently, as well as these clot shots, as well as whether you got a booster, you know, which ones you get it from.
Booster's the same juice, Doug, is all that is.
Right. But I guess it's more, which is a critical word there. So I guess I'm asking you, when do you see the people who fell for a lie, who fell for the depopulation agenda, in my view, when do you see them saying, wait a minute, what did you jab into me? You said it was safe. When do you see this massive, or do you see a massive revolt?
Well, one of the ingredients in the clot shot is antifreeze.
Yeah.
I was suggesting to my to my clients over the weekend. They have an office where people come in for healthcare to get a 1 gallon container of the right type of antifreeze. It's not all antifreeze, but only some antifreeze, and put it on the counter in the lobby with a massive syringe like they would use for a horse or a cow, and some kind of simple sign posted saying, this is what's in the clot shot, antifreeze, or this is what's in the COVID-19 vaccine, antifreeze.
Well, that's one. I mean, but that's not even the most horrifying ingredient, you know? I mean, you've got graphene oxide, which has been verified, or at least two of the four. So, I mean,
Doc, with the public, you need simple messages that the majority of people can understand. You and I and others that listen to you and listen to me, they have a pretty good comprehension of what graphene oxide is. The average John Doe and Jane Doe in public, they don't have a clue what graphene oxide is. So you need a simple message that's easy to convey for the general public. Would you like more antifreeze injected into your arm? There's no known reason for any type of antifreeze to be injected in people's bloodstreams. There has been uses of this type of antifreeze that are legitimate and not harmful, but it's never been injected in people's bloodstreams before, ever. And you're right, there's other harmful things in there. They use aborted baby parts in part of the manufacturing. There's graphene oxide. It's probably going to give people AIDS because of the way it's made to compromise your immune system. But if you're going to be dealing with the general public, you need a simple message that is easy and quick to understand to get their attention, to hopefully have them to look into it more deeply.
Sorry about that. My audio jammed up. Actually, it was my audio, not this time, not my mouth, my audio.
Okay. Your audio has been pretty good today, Doug, by the way.
Well, that's encouraging. So, okay. All right. And look, I get everything you said. I'm very concerned at this point, and not to beat a dead horse, not to continue this necessarily, but what I see is I see in a nutshell, and I'm sitting back looking at this, and maybe today was not the best day for me to do a mental inventory of things I'm seeing, but I'm seeing people lied to on a wholesale level by people like Fauci and by the government. And this includes, whether people are comfortable with this or not, President Trump, but maybe he was just reiterating something, you know, a lie. But even today, knowing what he should know, why is he still pushing for these vaccines? I don't know the answer to that. Again, I don't know what's in his heart. You don't know what's in his heart. So there's that. There's a massive push for globalism, and you can't hide that. And you've got two distinct teams. One pushing for this global agenda, and another saying, no, we need to stay a populist nationalist nation. And then you've got this clown show in D.C. With respect to the November elections. Nothing's getting done about this. There's a lot of talk, a lot of smoke and mirrors. Right? And then you got,
if they don't throw the Dominion voting machines in the ocean and stop the paper ballots, we're done. The republic is finished as a republic. Individual states may still have free and fair elections, but the Democrats have figured out a way to have anybody elected to any office, from school board and city council all the way up to the president of the United States. They can't be beat unless or until the Dominion voting machines and the mail-in ballots are done away with. That's not optional. For our republic to continue, for our republic to survive and go into the future, those Dominion voting machines and the mail-in ballots must be eliminated. There's not a choice on that. There's no choice at all.
And Zuckerberg's $400 million cash infusion into the elections. You know, of course, we have to stop all that. But we don't have, but see, here's the problem. We're not going to see the voting machines gone. We're not going to see that. We're not going to see hand counting. You're not going to see that. Let's be realistic here. So what happens in 2022 for the midterms?
We're done. Why even have elections? If they don't do away with those two things, what's the point? We know what the outcome's going to be.
Well,
there's no point. There's no point in taking half a day off to go vote. There serves no purpose whatsoever. Now, in my state, we don't have Dominion voting machines. We do have paper ballots, and there may be some tweaks on that, but we have free and fair elections in my state, Missouri. But in many of the 50 states, they can't, they don't, they won't.
Do you have machines in Missouri?
We have machines that we fill out paper ballots and are placed in a machine for holding until they get to the county seat.
Guess what? Same in Pennsylvania. And you saw how that worked in PA. There's no free voting or free and fair elections until these machines are taken out. You're right. So here's my question. Are we going to just lay down, roll over, and play dead and hope that Trump will come in and save us? Or are we going to do something about it? See, this is my problem. We need pressure
at the local level to change the voting system back to a free and fair elections, Doug.
We need a McMinn County. We need a Battle of Athens. That's my view anyway.
Well, for those who don't know, the Battle of Athens was in Athens, Tennessee. One or two years after the end of World War II, the veterans came back to their home county. They'd won the war in Europe. They'd won the war in the Pacific. And they wanted to clean up the decades-old corruption that had been in Athens, Kentucky, for decades. And they ran their own slate of veteran candidates to take these county offices, including the sheriff. The sheriff and the corrupt officials, they understood that they were just about done. So they shut down the courthouse, did not allow any independent observers in there for the counting of the ballots. The veterans understood what was going on, that the ballots would be mishandled, misappropriated, and they would lose. So the veterans broke open the National Guard armory there in Athens, Tennessee, armed themselves with weapons of war, and they laid siege to the county courthouse. I forget how many men died, but I believe several died and several were wounded. And the veterans ended up winning the battle and winning the offices in the county of at Athens, Tennessee there. Tough guys. I was visiting a very dear friend in Memphis in the mid-1980s. One of the participants of the Battle of Athens, one of the veterans, he was featured in a Sunday magazine there in the Memphis newspaper, a World War II Marine, and his hobby was making homemade spears that he went hunting hogs with, wild hogs that have very long tusks that, if I can hold up my hand, tusks that will take a man's leg off if they can get a hold of him. And he was still doing that as a quite a bit older gentleman, shall we say, in the 1980s.
Interesting
guy. But I can't disagree with you. And we may see some battles of Athens. The videos I'm seeing out of these school board meetings are very alarming. These parents are they're not quite up in arms, but they're close to it, Doug. They see their children being harmed by these vaccine and mask mandates, and you cause harm to somebody's child, you're in dangerous territory. You're in real dangerous territory, and I'm not sure what's going to come of it. But these parents are angry and they're motivated, and they'll be running people for school board themselves. And it's happening all over the country, Doug. There's thousands of school boards around the country, and you're going to see that happening all over the country to have changes in the school boards and city council meetings.
And not if the FBI or Department of Justice has their way, John. See, you know about the Loudoun County, Virginia man who was arrested for speaking out because his daughter was raped in the school. And the school board did nothing to report it. In fact, hid it and took the trans student and transferred the trans student to another school within the same school district where he or she or it or whatever it might be did it again.
Right.
Okay. So now So follow me here, folks. You have a man, I think it's Steve Smith, last name is Smith, who spoke out at the school board saying, hey, you guys, this is wrong. Didn't threaten anybody, but had the audacity to bring this up, and he was arrested. Okay, now he's filing litigation against the school board, both as a body and independently, which I applaud. But the fact of the matter is that the Department of Justice is saying that him and everyone like him are domestic terrorists. Well, what the hell? You know what? My daughter
gets... Well, the feds have no jurisdiction. There's no federal crime.
Well, see, they're interfacing.
They're creating a federal crime where none exists.
No. What they're doing is they're interfacing along with, they're directing the appropriate state, local, or county law enforcement body to, you know, instructing them how to investigate and how to prosecute these crimes. This guy having the audacity to speak up for his rape daughter. So this is what we're into right now.
They can't create laws out of thin air.
They're freaking doing it, John. For God's sakes, they're doing it.
Well, if they are, it's wrong and it will be overturned.
Well, you know, too
it's
late.
It's not going to happen in my state. I know it's not going to happen in my state.
Yeah, not in your state, but you know what? We have a whole bunch of patriots in jail right now. From January 6th, who are rotting away, not giving due process. Wait a second, due process is part of the Constitution. You got to give due process. Well, my butt, okay? What I'm saying to you is it's too friggin' late, I believe. At this point, we fight. We fight. Because convince me otherwise. Convince me otherwise. We fight. We don't have the soapbox controlled by Zuckerberg and controlled by Dorsey. Those two communist bastards. And the people, the Obama people, remember, Obama's the one that really put fake news on the map, right?
Absolutely.
So, okay, so lost the soapbox. We can't speak in public anymore, God forbid. Oh, in Canada, which is just to our north, any correspondence, anybody who works for the government, if they dare say, let's go Brandon, they'll be fired. Okay, just saying. You think that's not coming here? That's coming here. It's already here, actually. It's just in a different form. So we've lost the ability to speak. And in my case, I never had it. And it's even hobbled further. Okay. But that said, we've lost the ability to vote because they've made that into a farce with their machines. So what's left? Soapbox?
Right. Well, I'd rather use a ballot box and a soapbox before the bullet box. But
so when they take away,
they leave us no choice.
They leave us no choice. So I guess what I'll be doing tonight is, in addition to seeing a doctor and having some of this fixed, is to shine my weapons and or not shine them but clean them and reload the shells. Right. I don't know what else to do. I'm not trying to be defeatist about this, but I'm trying to take my country back from these. And you saw the picture that we had. There's no arguing with these people. There's no talking with these people. There's no rationalizing with these people. The insane lefties, mask COVIDiots. That's one aspect. The lefties, hey, open the friggin' borders. It's okay. Those idiots. DHS, just by the way, or Project Veritas just had somebody come out and describe what's going on in the southern border. Hey, this is all a feature, not a bug. About the southern border. So, I mean, again, and right now over 50% are not in America. They're not vaccinated. They're not getting the vax. I'm just using this as an example. Whatever game that these people are playing on the left and the leadership, it's finished. They have to either end the mandate in that case, or all hell is going to break loose. The same with the social networking. Either stop the censorship or all hell is going to break loose. Either stop the vote rigging or all hell is going to break loose. Here's my bottom line. All hell is going to break loose, folks. So you best be fixing on getting prepared for it. That's my view.
Well, Doug, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I've been advocating preparedness for decades. Our society is quite fragile. It always has been. The things that we count on for our daily comfort and needs are rather fragile, the power grid and so forth. So I do advocate people be ready for a grid down situation, a martial law situation, because those are very clear and present dangers. And the communists, of course, want to destroy our country. They want us fighting each other. Their goal is to have Americans use up their ammunition on each other before their troops show up. Their troops will probably, the Chinese troops will come
I'm
in.
I'm okay with that.
Peacekeepers.
I won't use them all. Use all my ammo. But I'm okay with that. I'm serious. Because I don't want somebody fighting alongside me that's going to turn their guns on me. Just saying. Or I don't want somebody fighting alongside me that's actually for the communist Chinese. Just saying. Go ahead.
Well, I don't either. And in my neighborhood, there's nobody that thinks or feels that way. Once you're in the cities, there's plenty of people who would support the Chinese, but the Chinese troops would be brought in here as peacekeepers and welcomed by many, if not most Americans, to restore order. Of course, the real goal won't be to destroy order. The real goal would be to place themselves in positions where they, once they reveal their true nature, the true reason they're there, that it'll be far, far more difficult to get them out once they're here and already in place in those manners. So, Doug, I agree with you. We need to be armed. We need to be ready. We need to be trained. Owning firearms does not translate into proficiency with firearms, not even a little bit. I can, for $500, I can go to any art store in the country and come out with what I need to become Picasso or Rembrandt. But I guarantee you, Doug, John Moore owning art supplies doesn't mean John Moore is an artist.
Unless you're Hunter Biden, in which case, you're just laundering money.
Exactly.
But that's just my own view.
In any case, ownership of firearms does not translate into competency with firearms. So if you're just an entry-level firearms owner, and we have lots of new ones because of what's going on, seek out a professional instructor, an NRA-certified instructor, or go to Sam Andrews Place, Freedom Center USA, and they get some professional training for close quarters combat and related topics. The sooner the better, Doug. Firearms training is something that takes some time, takes some money, and it takes a commitment for people to do that. But I encourage people to do that, Doug, because the time may come very soon where people need those skills, sir.
And if they can't do that, what do they do? Look, everyone's not in the same position as you are, as I am, as some people are. If they can't do that, become proficient. I mean, not everyone can travel to Missouri. I get that. Not everyone can. What's the most basic of preps that we need to do here? Like a prep 101 for those people who are new to this show, just tuning in.
Well, number one is water. You need a high quality water, gravity feed water filter. Maybe a couple of thousand paper coffee filters to pre-filter any groundwater, water from a creek, a river, a lake, or a pond. That's number one. Number two, of course, would be food. If you're on a really tight budget, beans and rice will pretty much keep you alive. It'll be boring as hell, but it'll keep you alive. Just store it up by the ton. Actually, you need about 900 pounds per year per person for your dried grains. About half that for a child, and about a little more for a teenage boy or girl, about 1,100 pounds of dried grain per person per year. So those are the basic foundations. Winter's not far from us. You want a backup plan to stay warm in your home in case the power grid or natural gas goes down. That would be a really very important thing to do. Other than that, if you don't have access to a genuine tactical training place like Freedom Center USA, maybe you can seek out the guidance and the help from a combat veteran. That might be helpful there, too. So there's lots to do, Doug, and not much time to do it.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I want to show you one last video. Folks, you got to see this. And I've got to get it over to Eric here real quick. This, John, this was on, this, My goodness. This was a CNN guest that had there was a moment of clarity on CNN. And this kind of speaks to what you and I were speaking about today. All right. So let me just do this. And Eric the Tech, tell me when you get this. And let me set this up for you, John, and ladies and gentlemen of the jury. This is a situation where Brian Stelter had this guest on, explaining why, in part, that she left the New York Times and what the deal was with respect to the media and how the media is controlled and how you and I – did you get it? Okay. How we are being subjected to fake news. And this, I got an email beyond this, okay, saying that this incensed Brian Stelter personally and professionally. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't even know if Brian Stelter could be incensed. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know if it's, you know, how bad. But it also caused CNN, I believe they tried to intercept this, West Coast, East Coast. I'm not exactly 100% sure, but they didn't want this to get out. And if they didn't want this to get out, I want it to get out. Do you have it? All right. Watch this, John. It's 2 minutes, 17 seconds. Folks, take a listen if you're listening or watch this. Go ahead. Oh, hang on just 1 second here.
You're right. There are tens of millions of Americans who aren't on the hard left or the hard right who feel the world has gone mad. So in what ways has the world gone mad?
Well, you know, when you have the chief reporter on the beat of COVID for the New York Times talking about how questioning or pursuing the question of the lab leak is racist, the world has gone mad. When you're not able to say out loud and in public that there are differences between men and women, the world has gone mad. When we're not allowed to acknowledge that rioting is rioting and it is bad, and that silence is not violence, but violence is violence, the world has gone mad. When we're not able to say that Hunter Biden's laptop is a story worth pursuing, the world has gone mad. When, in the name of progress, young school children, as young as kindergarten, are being separated in public schools because of their race, and that is called progress rather than segregation, the world has gone mad. There are dozens of examples that I could share with you and with
and
your
you
viewers.
And you say
everyone
allowed.
Everyone sort of knows this. And
you say we're not allowed, we're not able. Who's the people stopping the conversation? Who are they?
People that work at networks, frankly, like the one I'm speaking on right now, who try and claim that, you know, it was racist to investigate the lab leak theory. It was.
But
I mean,
who
let's
said
just
that
take
at CNN?
Example.
But I'm just saying that when you say aloud, I just think it's a provocative thing you say. You say we're not allowed to talk about these things, but they're all over the internet. I can Google them.
Brian,
I can find them everywhere. I've heard about every story you mentioned.
Of course.
So I'm just suggesting, of course, people are allowed to cover whatever they want to cover.
But you and I both know, and it would be delusional to claim otherwise, that touching your finger to an increasing number of subjects that have been deemed third rail by the mainstream institutions and increasingly by some of the tech companies will lead to reputational damage, perhaps you losing your job, your children sometimes being demonized as well. And so what happens is a kind of internal self-censorship. This is something that I saw over and over again when I was at the New York Times.
So what do you think of that, John? I mean, a moment of clarity on CNN and Brian Stelter taking issue with that. Ugh. You know, hey, Brian, you know, Crocs Brian, right? So what are your thoughts on that? And folks, what do you think about that? But John, what are your thoughts on
that? That's highly unusual for that kind of clarity and truth to be broadcast on CNN, to say the least. Brian's questions probably could have, you know, he was looking for specific people to be named. This woman could not name specific people at a place she didn't work at, as opposed to where she did work at the New York Times, and she probably could name specific names there. She was making a general observation that we all know is true, that the mainstream media applauds mental illness, the mental illness of men who want to be women, the mental illness of women who want to be men, as some kind of elevated status, a goal worthwhile for a person to engage in such activity as normal, as opposed to a mental illness. That homosexual men dressed up like women, reading stories to small children, is normal and good and proper. That what's called story time in public libraries. You know, Doug, you know, I recognize mentally ill people as what they are. I treat them with respect and dignity, but I don't go along with what they believe. I don't participate in what they believe. If a man wants to dress up like a woman, more power to him. If he attempts to enter the locker room where my granddaughter is changing clothes to go swimming, I'll take him out and I'll pay the price. His mental illness does not give him permission to enter the girl's locker room.
Is that your red line, or do you have a?
That is a red line for me personally. Okay. Absolutely.
And this is where I think we all must come to grips. We have personal red lines, which I agree, because if somebody goes in and assaults my granddaughter, okay, they're gonna be well ventilated, and they're gonna be carried out by, believe me, they're gonna pay the price. But what about what you and I must do for the good of the country? What about that, John? And I'm not asking contentiously. I'm just saying, what about that? What do we do for the country? What do we do for our neighbor who can't speak up, who can't shoot a gun, who can't whatever? Or, you know, what do we do? Because I've seen a whole bunch of people saying, oh, they come for my guns. That's a bottom line there. That's a red line.
Part of the brilliance, Doug, part of the brilliance of the enemy is their ability and what they've done to compromise the institutions of this country, the institutions that, going back to the days of Dwight Eisenhower, the institutions that would have stood up and said no, the American Legion, for example, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the PTA associations, PTO associations, the various, there's thousands of organized groups of men and women around this country, the Boy Scouts of America, thoroughly and completely compromised, allowing mentally ill homosexual men to be Boy Scout leaders. That's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
Right.
So the organizations that could and should in the past and would have in the past have stood up and said no. Now, there was a time, Doug, when I was used to Boy Scouts of America, or maybe the Southern Baptist Association might even be better. The Southern Baptist Association represents millions of American men and women, millions. There was a time that if a congressman or a senator or a president got a letter from the head of the Southern Baptist organization, you think it's going to be paid attention to? Of course so, because that's tens of millions of votes, literally. Now they've been compromised. The Catholics have been compromised. The Catholics, the Vatican is now making nice with homosexuals and transsexuals and endorsing the clot shot and so forth. In decades past, and pro-abortion, by the way, too, they're making nice with pro-abortion groups. That would have been unheard of not that long ago in the Catholic churches in this country, but that's the way it is now. So I have to give credit where credit is due. Our opposition, our enemy, is brilliant in the fact that they've compromised the organizations that we traditionally have counted on to speak up on our behalf. All these, not just the ones I mentioned, but hundreds of other organizations that would exhibit voting power that would get the attention of congressmen and senators and presidents to have them change behavior, go a different direction, and so forth. So what are we left with? We're left with individuals as opposed to strong, formidable organizations such as the Catholic Church, such as the Southern Baptists, the Boy Scouts of America, the unions, which have been compromised by the communists, and so forth. We're left with individual unorganized Americans for the most part. And that's a tragedy, but that was all by design, Doug. It didn't just happen.
No, it didn't. And I didn't mean to overtalk you there. It didn't just happen. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, musings over coffee. And I'll tell you something, go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com and make sure you really, soak in all that John Moore's got to offer. That's thelibertyman.com. There you can listen to him 3 hours a day. Radio, great show. John, I want to say thank you so much.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. We'll do this again next Monday.
All right. All right. And I just want to express my, heartfelt sorrow for the loss of my brother, Russ Bizdar. Night.